Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's get it started. Monday, 2 o'clock. Oh, it's going to be a long show today, isn't it? Blame game. I have no idea what the hell we watched yesterday. I have a hard time explaining it. I know who I want to blame, and that'll be from 2 to 6. So how is everybody?
Good, man. Man, I don't know. Doug walked out of here, looked like he was a beaten man.
That's every day he does 4 hours of radio.
No, I've never seen Doug look like this. He looked just like he had nothing left.
Well, we've got plenty in the tank. Let's just get to it. I look, you can blame whoever you like. It's free country. There are layers to this. But I actually think the guy who blamed himself is to blame. Dan Campbell going John L. Smith at the end of the first half, where you give away 3 points, which in an NFL game is unforgivable. The margins in the NFL are so thin. The last two drives of your game should have been to kick the game-winning field goal. I mean, from a box score standpoint, you dominated the box. Your defense played their ass off. Like, I love how people want to rip Aaron Glenn the minute it doesn't go well. And then where are you at when they shut the Bucs down, basically? They scored 20 points in an NFL game. Rico, you hold someone to 20 points, you got to win the game.
Mike, not just 20 points, but I mean, the Bucs had 216 total yards of offense.
That's my point.
Yeah.
And again,
that's inexcusable.
It's just, to me, look, we can get into the red zone. We can get into where in the world is Sam LaPorta. We can get into speed option, bizarro world play calls by Ben Johnson. We can get into 56 pass attempts in a one-score game when you have a great O-line and the other team loses Vita Vea and Kalijah Kancey and doesn't have their whole secondary. We can get into all of it. I don't know what to say. The NFL is the land of the inexplicable. You lose games. Like, how did the Raiders beat the Ravens? 2-4-8. This is the, I don't know. But I can tell you in the blame game, I'm going to blame the CEO. Because you can't on third down run the field goal unit out there when it's clear spike territory. Now, if you think that's simplistic, I know Jim Costa and I battled about it on the pod a little bit. Rico, I don't know who you blame most. People, you tell me. I'm sure all the anti-golf people will be out there today.
Oh, they are out.
Oh, well, the same people who go, oh, he needed to take shots at the end zone. Cutscene. He took a shot and threw a pick. But we'll have it. We'll do it all. So let me throw the number out. I want to go around the room. Tell me who you blame. 248-539-9797. I'm blaming Dan Campbell. If people want to attack that, go ahead. Rico?
Well, no, I feel bad now because I'm blaming Dan Campbell too, but it just looks like you told me to blame Dan Campbell. But
you cannot
have a mistake at the end of the half and you give up points like that, especially on the third down. You could have spiked the ball. I blame Dan Campbell because your team wasn't prepared. They weren't ready. It's almost like you didn't practice this drill. Okay, guys, this may happen in a game. Here's what we're going to do. The offense looked like they were about to spike it, but then the field goal team comes running out on the field. And it's like, okay, don't know what's happening here. And then at the end of the game, when you obviously you're going to have to score. You had one timeout, and it just really didn't look like you knew what you wanted to do. You were throwing the ball, you know, check downs, and the clock is ticking. And I was lost. Like, where there was almost no sense of urgency using the sideline because that was plenty of time to get down there and score a touchdown with this offense, with all the weapons that they have. The end of the half and the end of the game, I blame the coach because the team just didn't look ready.
Yeah, but I blame Goff at the end of the game. I mean, you burn 18 seconds on 2 9-yard checkdowns, knowing you only have one timeout in your pocket. Now, I get, hey, Dan Campbell, you and I are simpatico on that. Yeah. when it's the quarterback and it's a minute to go, or I got one timeout left, you're the CEO of my operation.
Yeah.
Rico, this is a guy who's been to a Super Bowl. This is a guy I just paid a ton of money to.
Right, but and that's why, hey, and maybe I'm just I blame Campbell because this is where you grab Goff by the face mask. Hey, this is what legends are made of. Go win this game. Get this done. They didn't.
I didn't understand a lot of what I watched. And then it's staggering when you look at the box score. Yeah, I want them to run the ball more. You know, 55 pass attempts to 27 rushing attempts. But look, the Bucs were doing some things that would take some of that away. But the red zone is really your quality.
Yeah.
The red zone is who you are, right? That's why there's separate practice periods for red zone offense. You're going to see more aggressive looks, more exotic coverages, more condensed looks. This team sucked in the red zone.
Well, that's if I could have a part two. You know what? I don't want to steal because I do have a part two, David. But I'll let you get yours out.
Six. Just do the part two. It's not the Bible. Just do it.
Okay. Jeez.
Let's go.
Calm down.
No, it's all pace and space, man. We're running the Phoenix Suns offense here. Go ahead. What's part two?
Ben Johnson.
Where do we begin?
Ben Johnson. Because Ben Johnson came in with a game plan. But here's what happened. Ben Johnson couldn't deviate from that game plan. He was going to have Goff throw the ball a ton of times. Mike, the last couple of times that he's played, Goff has thrown the ball over 40 times against the Buccaneers. So in his mind, well, Goff, we won games when you pass for over 40 times. But then Villavea goes out. They don't have a defensive line. This is where you ball it up and say, okay, we're just going to run these same plays until the Bucs show us that they can't stop them. Very similar to what you did in the overtime against the Rams. Just screw all of this. We're just going to hand the ball off to Montgomery. We're going to run up the middle. He was handcuffed to his game plan, and he couldn't deviate from it. And it was like, Ben, what are you saying that we're not? Because you should be able to run the ball now. Nah, we're going to pass this thing. So that's my part.
No, and you're right. I think Ben Johnson, look, you're right. I mean, hell, we sat here Friday, and I'm like, guys, this team's bringing no secondary in. It's clear that was the focus of their week and their install. But to your point, if you're a great offensive coordinator or a great coach, play caller, you have to adjust. Now, look, here's the problem, too. If I'm going to defend Jared Goff, I've got to critique him. I mean, he's through two games. He's thrown 83 passes, way too much. And Jared Goff has been subpar. It's okay to blame Jared Goff. Doesn't mean I think he's garbage, and it sure as hell doesn't mean I want to take Hendon Hooker phone calls. But it's not good enough. So, yeah, that could be thrown in, too. David, go ahead.
See, that's when I'll add the other layer, because you're right about Ben Johnson, but Jared Goff does need blame here because he's either checking down on his own to these swing passes to Jameer Gibbs
that
out of the
nowhere,
backfield,
by the way,
that are behind the line of scrimmage that are giving you nothing. That starts red zone, your red zone possessions when you're doing that. That does absolutely nothing. And then you're forcing the ball to St. Brown yesterday. Like, I get the play calling was bad. Ben Johnson was awful. Dan Campbell did their thing. But the quarterback is forcing that ball. That's not a call saying you have to. He's forcing it. And Sam Laporta was open many times underneath. But because Jared Goff is forcing the ball, he looks bad the first 2 weeks of this season.
Yeah, it's almost like he's trying to make up. Like, okay, J-Mo, I didn't throw to you at all last year, so the first game is going to be you. Oh, I'm all right, bro. You know, we boys. I'm going to make sure you – I fully expect Laporta to be the leading receiver in Arizona.
You're not wrong.
Seriously, this is one where I promise you, Laporta will have 9 catches for 130-some yards and a touchdown.
It feels so disjointed. There's no flow to it. And like, here's the other thing. I'm big on efficiency. Now, all plays count. I'm not trying to upset people. But if we take away the two J-Mo completions in heavy air quotes, okay, 52-yarder in week one, 50-yarder this week, right? Here's what you ended up with. From an efficiency standpoint, you had a quarterback who would have thrown for 167 yards on 27 passes, or a quarterback who threw for 257 yards on 54 pass attempts. That is woefully inefficient.
Yeah.
So something's up, and you can't just say, well, the defense was doing X, Y, and Z. Guys, every week, every team in every game has goals they want to accomplish defensively. You have better Jimmies and Joes, better X's and O's, you defeat those game plans. The Lions aren't defeating those game plans. That's just where we're at 2 weeks in. So who do you blame?
Yeah, at least offensively, because I think Aaron Glenn saw a weak link and said, you know what, Hutch, you're going to line up over this tackle all game.
What were the Bucs doing?
In the backfield. I mean, Hutchinson might as well have been in the huddle calling the plays for him, like, well, you know what? You probably don't want to run that play because I'm going to tackle you.
When you're, listen, first of all, Aiden Hutchinson is on the ascend. I talked about this being, all right, this has to be his Myles Garrett year three, come out party, 15, 16 sacks. I think he will accomplish
that. Say it in my good ear because you know we're Smarties.
Well, right, exactly. I'm so bored by that. The point is, I also have a hard time sitting here and giving you a ton of credit when you have Cameron Brait blocking you one-on-one or Kate Otten or whoever it was. You cannot have a tight end block Aiden Hutchinson.
No.
What did you draw on the whiteboard? I mean, I'll take it. It's fine. But
well, then they tried to double team him, and it's like, and that didn't work either.
Well, the back was more concerned with going out and running routes.
Right.
If you're gonna block. Hey, whatever. Keep running that game plan. Aiden will have 25 sacks at the end of the year. Kenny, blame game. Let's talk about it. Who do you blame for the loss?
The biggest slice on the pie chart goes to Dan Campbell, primarily because of his play call. And the fact that leading into that second half, it didn't look like they were ready for a field goal. They clearly were not. But then you have, I mean, run the effing ball. Dude, Vita Vea is gone. Why are we not pounding it down their throat?
And again, for people who are going to say, well, Tampa was stacking the box, right, and Adrian Peterson faced nine-man fronts. You have allegedly the best O-line. I'll tell you what I've been disappointed in, the interior of this O-line. I thought they were, look, box score-wise, they get an A+. But when you rewatch that and you look, the interior third of that line looked very shaky to me, both in pass protection, with pressure in Goff's face, but also the run game, not moving the line of scrimmage. I guess I just expect so much more from that front. Yeah, I don't need Goff throwing at 55.
No.
It's not a one score. Hey, if it's TCU UCF Rico and we're down 31-13, grip it and rip it.
By the way, very entertaining game. I'll tip my cap to you. You told me to watch that.
It's just fun, right?
Right. By the way,
if you're a Michigan fan, that's the offense you should be running now that Alex Orji's your quarterback. More on that tomorrow. You should be doing what Malzahn does, a wildcat-based offense, spoon-fed throws, power running, 14 to 16 QB runs. Rico, that more on that tomorrow. I know. But that is what they should be running. All right. Well, here we are. Just a 85 and sunny. Lions drove their car off a cliff like Thelma and Louise, and we're 1-1. Who's to blame? Let's talk about it. 248-539-9797. We'll get with you guys in a moment.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
That's where my blame resides. But I have a different view of NFL football, so you're right. It's more than one play, or it can be more than one thing. But in NFL football, the margins are razor thin. You give away 3 points. It's unforgivable. And Campbell owned it, but that I don't care.
But here's the thing. I think it could be a microcosm of the season, Mike, and let's hope not. But giving away those 3 points early in the game cost you at the end. Giving away this game hopefully won't cost you home field throughout.
Right, it's a division. Yep, I know.
Well, there's nothing I could say. It's just one of those games where you're going to look back at this, and it is. It's going to bother you all year. How did we lose that game? You got no business. The defense was very good. Offensively, you did whatever you wanted all day. And it was just your red zone offense was pathetic. You gave away 3 points. I don't know what Goff was doing, pressure in his face, pushing that ball late over the middle, which is never going to work. Just go to the people. I quit. Doug, 97-1. Doug, you're batting leadoff. What's up, buddy?
How you doing, Mike?
Super.
Rico kind of stole my thunder. I blame Ben Johnson for this.
Okay.
I mean, you got Vita Vea out. You got a Pro Bowl nose tackle. He's out for the second half. Why are you not running Bredesen right over this new nose tackle and having the running backs follow up behind him and just destroy him? It made no sense.
Look, I agree. I wish there was more. I'm with Rico on this. It felt like they had their install and they felt their biggest advantage all day was going to be throwing. And look, to Tampa's credit, they were mugging the line of scrimmage. They were offering a lot in the way of stopping the run. But, Doug, this also goes to my point. This offensive line, I need more of what I saw in overtime against the Rams. It hasn't looked dominant so far, by and large.
Absolutely. And why you're inside the 20 in the red zone, why are you keeping Laporta in and blocking? Why are you just having chip and return and go?
I am confused early about the Sam Laporta thing. That's all I can say. I don't quite know what we're doing here. You know, we all agree he's one of the best tight ends in football, young or old. And frankly, Kelsey looks baked. He may as well go on the Eras Tour. The point is, I'm not seeing the Sam Laporta I saw last year attacking vertically.
No. And I think it was either Cookies said it on his show. I think he's pacing for like maybe 68 receptions this year based off of these two games, which is probably about 60% of where he was at last year. It's like
68 targets.
Yeah, 68 targets. Yeah, 68. And it's like, okay, is he involved in the offense or not? Because I think that he is one of those tight ends that can be a game changer, that if you, because he's a mismatch, what are you going to do? Who are you going to, you know, who's going to cover him? But yeah, it was like Ben Johnson said, this will work. Trust me on this. And just wouldn't look at the game changed, and he refused to change with it yesterday.
The problem is, again, efficiency, 19 targets for Amon-Ra St. Brown, 11 catches for 100 yards. That's woefully inefficient. There's only so many targets to go around. Why am I throwing 19 times to a guy who looked like he was on one leg? Go to Q, 97-1. What's up, Q?
How you doing, guys?
Good, Q. What do you got? Blame game style.
Oh, man. You sound so miserable, Mike. Look, I feel so bad that Jared Goff, I made a $50 bet that he's going to win MVP. I want to throw up now because he don't look good at all.
I can tell you that horrible. That ticket's going to be used as a coaster.
They just won $50 quick for me. It's only the second week. But I agree with you guys. Why do we start running the ball? Yeah, well, why did we not run the ball enough? Because 27 times is not enough times to run the ball. I feel like when you got 2,000-yard runners, there's no reason for you to have Jared Goff look, you know, put him in a vulnerable situation and throw the ball 50 times. Like, come on, man. Jared Goff is not set up to do that. We all know that. But you lose hope when you see him playing like this, because I thought Jared Goff was great inside doors in the first two games was in Ford Field. We got Arizona next week. I'm kind of nervous to play Arizona, honestly. I think they look good, and they beat the team that we barely beat last week. So I don't know what to expect, and I just think you guys have me on.
Yeah, no, and look, the Goff thing, it's a conversation piece. I don't have a problem with it. He's off to his worst career, you know, QBR through 2 weeks, I think, outside of his rookie season. It's not good enough. He wasn't very good last week. He was fine. This week, he was not fine. And realistically, here's the deal. I'm just not going to scream and yell about running the football. Zoom out for a minute. If you run 83 snaps on offense, I need more than 16 points. I don't care if you're running Texas Tech's air raid or Army's triple option. Like, 83 snaps, 16 points.
Yeah. I mean, red zone efficiency is down throughout the NFL, but yeah, you're right. You got to do better because you got way too many weapons.
This should have been a 22-20 victory, period. Field goal at the end of the first half, field goal end of game. Ugly, but we'll take that. Mm-hmm. And we would have talked about, hey, they're not playing great football, but they know how to win. They're doing it late. Mm-hmm. Instead, we're sitting here putting placemats over our face, ordering saucy nugs as the coach cost us another game. And I love Dan Campbell, but this is what it comes back to. And by the... All right, can I say I didn't like something even though it worked? Or is that me being a hater?
Can I guess? It's the punt.
I can't be faking punts on my own 20. I know it worked.
Bruh.
But I almost had a stroke.
Had they not converted that.
I know. I know.
Did you see what almost happened?
What?
Vaki almost slipped.
Oh, yeah. No, yes. Okay, I thought.
Oh, no. I'm just that. No, sorry, Mike. No.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, no. What now?
Yeah.
Sorry.
If that ball, like, wait.
Like, it worked. It's like a fade route. I hate fade routes on the 1 yard line. Now, they work sometimes, but I can still say I do not like this. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I'll be quiet now.
You're good.
Let's go to Dre in Southfield. Dre, how are you?
Good. Now, Mike, you got to see, here's the problem. Dan making a mistake goes right into like one of your biggest pet peeves. You're very, very hard, and I can't get mad at you about it on coaching mistakes. You hate that. You hate when coaches make mistakes because you're right. It is the highest of the profession. And you feel like, I'm sorry, I just don't have patience for it. So, but I don't see how you could put anybody above in terms of blame than Ben Johnson. It does matter that they didn't run the ball enough because here's what's happening and it's clear. It's that what LaPorta and Amara do so well in connection with Goff is control the middle of the field. And it's clear that coming to this season, both the Rams and the Bucks, they saw that. And they're like, we're going to take this away. Which is why you're probably seeing J-Mo have shots that worked out of the field at times deep. And also the under routes are there. They're not allowing it to happen. So when you see that, being Ben Johnson, that the middle of the field is just not open. And also this, it's been well documented that Jared Goff is best off the play action. He's not a guy that you keep consistently in the gun 70-80% of the time you snap him and have him go. That's not his thing. So that's why it doesn't sit well with me and I put most of my blame on Ben Johnson because, fine, Dan Campbell made a mistake. They still had the ball multiple times down 4. It's not like they were down multiple possessions. So that's why I can't sweat that too much. We had plenty of opportunities, and we didn't lose with our fastball. It's no shame in losing to the Bucks early in the season. It's the NFL. We saw the Niners lose to Minnesota with Sam Darnold. You're going to have games like this where it just doesn't make sense and you fall short. And I could have lived with losing yesterday if we played to our strength. We did not play towards our strength. I don't care. The Bucks are low in the box. Especially when Vita Vea went out, who's probably the best run interior defensive lineman in football, there's no excuse to at least try. Now, the Bucks was hammering our run game. We were trying it, and we were getting stalled at the line of scrimmage. That's one thing. They never tried to change the game plan and do something different. And Ben has now had a documented history of either being too cute at times or just being remember, he'll sometimes have these long-developing running plays, too. Like, sometimes he's had a history of doing too much. And just, you know what? Take the game as it is, dude. It's clear that your quarterback's not in the rhythm, so how about you take some pressure off? How about you have the defense have to come up in respect to runs so you can open things up in the middle? That's why I put most of my blame there. I'm sorry. I just can't.
You don't have to be sorry. Dre, let's be unequivocal. Nothing you've said is wrong. We just differ in that if I change nothing, let's say it played out. Let's say it played out exactly like it did. I win 22-20. You're not wrong with anything you're saying,
then, Mike. But here's the problem. I agree with you. That's to me. I may say this wrong. Chance of the property. What one thing affects the other in a football game? Well, in sports. So say we get the field goal off here, we get the ball. Well, I know we got the ball coming out in the second half. We're down 1. We don't know what happens from there.
I'm just saying, if I have the 3 points at the end of the first half,
I get,
factually speaking,
right.
I don't have to go to the end zone. Dre, you're not wrong. I just think they're two different silos. But you, if you rank one over the other, this is not a hill I'm dying on today, Dre, at all. You're not wrong.
Yeah. Did they lose? Here's where I think you have to ask yourself as a fan or yourself
quickly
looking at the games. Did they lose playing with their fastball? And I say they did not.
No, they did not.
That's
and, Dre,
problem.
I'm up against it. I do appreciate it. We'll get more of the calls. We're way over time. Blame me. All right, we'll get to the people in a second. We haven't checked in with Ticket Text yet. Let's do that. We are going to mix in some blitzes. We'll get just a taste of college football today. Tomorrow will be a big day. Yes, Michigan has named the new starting quarterback. No, they did not have any other choice. But I actually could find a way to think this will help you. But it comes with a caveat. We're going to – I'll probably get yelled at for this tomorrow, but that'll be exciting. David, go ahead.
I cannot wait.
David, go ahead.
Ben Johnson is the reason they lost predictable offense for the most part, and he tried too hard to feed St. Brown. Why didn't he use a porter? That's on Ben Johnson.
Now, hold on. Can I ask a question? At what point does the guy making $52 million a year take blame? Like, hey, you want to use Ben Johnson as a pinata? That's your prerogative. But the plays are sent in, and the idea that this is Madden and you are, I'm absolutely throwing it. Yeah, the coverage may show you something pre-snap, and a tenth of a second later, you realize there's a disguise, and it's called a progression. Like, I do understand you, quote, call someone's number. Yes. But you do have to blame the guy with, you know, the football in his hands too, right? I'm sorry, is that okay?
Well,
what?
I don't want to say this because it's going to spark the Hendon Hooker calls. Want to know why? No. Because you don't. The reason why people aren't really blaming Goff, you don't view Goff as that type of quarterback. You view Goff as a type who you are going to do exactly what Ben Johnson says. You're going to follow Ben Johnson's plays. You're not going to call audibles. You're not going to look at the line and check out into something else.
Oh, he'll do that. He's just not C.J. Stroud escaping three people and firing a cannon.
Even though we did see mobile golf.
Mobile golf season. That's two scrambles in two weeks and two first downs.
I think that's why a lot of people aren't blaming golf, because you got to know your limitations. And he's not the type that all of a sudden just breaks and runs for yards.
Okay, but
or
hold
does
on.
This.
Hold on. Understand where I'm coming from with this. His brain is his weapon.
Yes.
No, that means I blame him more. Make a better read. Like, look late in the game. I absolutely blame Jared Goff for 2 9-yard passes, using your last timeout, and blowing 18 seconds to get 18 yards. That's on you. I can't blame Ben Johnson. He didn't throw the ball. Jared, be better.
Right, because even if that is Ben Johnson calls that play in, like, Ben, my helmet can't. It went out.
I didn't hear that. Blame Ben Johnson for something. Okay, mobile golf season, we're not running the speed option. What the hell was that? That looked like a Marcus Mariota delay toss at Oregon from 10 years ago. What the hell is that? Yeah. Seriously, you know the play I'm talking about. Going left to right on your television screen, and I go, oh my God, what is this, Drew Stanton?
That's why I'm laughing. Good call.
I couldn't believe that. I go, where in the play sheet does that reside? What, did the other pages get burnt up? Did you lose a lanyard?
Yeah. But I think that's why a lot of people aren't blaming Goff, because you don't look at Goff as that type of QB.
David, go ahead.
I'm blaming Goff. He looked awful yesterday. Goff shouldn't have five picks. He should have had five picks yesterday, and a horrible interception in the red zone cost them the game. Tony from Macomb. I blame Ben Johnson because at the end of the day, you had two red zone opportunities yet called weird swing passes on first down. He gets the blame. I mostly blame Dan Campbell, but also think Ben Johnson deserves a lot of the blame as well.
I'm going to say this, and I know we are only 40 minutes into a four-hour show, and maybe we just haven't heard from the people, but I do find this adorable, that nobody can blame Saucy Nugs. Nobody can blame Applebee's, man.
See, I told Kenny, I went through a ton of texts to start this show the first 40 minutes. Not many are putting Dan Campbell on there.
You want to know why?
Because he's up on that pedestal.
See, right there?
That's
no. Right there, That's why you're Mike Valenti.
No,
because if you criticize...
They got Dan Campbell up to that next thing pedestal.
You know what he is? He's Steve Yzerman. You can't talk bad about him. You cannot talk bad about him because he has reached Steve Yzerman status.
Then why did Steve Yzerman go to the podium and say, this is completely my fault, break down in tears, and say, I asked them to be better, and I didn't do my job? I have every right to say yesterday's
And that was enough for most people. See, he tried. It wasn't on him. He's such a great coach. He took the blame. He fell on the sword for all of the mistakes that everybody else did. But I fully, that halftime thing, you didn't have your team prepared. They should have known, hey, guys, if this happens, here's what we're going to do.
And it was third down.
Right.
I don't even understand how it was a thought.
If it was fourth down, I could understand it a little bit.
Because it's the only way out.
Right. But it's like, why are you running on the field? We haven't spiked the ball yet.
Here's the other thing. Here we go. I'll get in trouble. But what was Goff doing? You have no timeouts. The ball's to the sidelines, the end zone, or to the fourth row to some kid with earmuffs on. But even then, we could spike it. Everything's fine. The goal is a Super Bowl. The goal is home field advantage. It's not good enough. And we all love the escape in week one and resiliency. And we knew it was week one. It has to look different in week two. And it's just... Offensively, the numbers look pretty. The product doesn't. Red zone efficiency, disaster. Operational disaster. And then we start getting into the zaniness of speed options and things. And you're right. It does feel, to going back to what you said to start the show, it feels like they're in the business of making players happy right now versus just run the offense. Mm-hmm. Week one, it's J-Mo day. Week two, Amon-Ra, we're coming to you. And you're right. Maybe it's a Sam Laporta pizza party in the desert this week. No, I just want to run the offense.
Mm-hmm. Monday night, Gibbs.
I don't. Stop. 248-539-9797. We're going to get more of your phone calls. Please be patient. We have a ton of people that want to talk. We'll get into some blitzes as well. 97.1. All right, we'll get back to business momentarily. We want to dip our toes in the waters of either the NFL or college. It is time for a blitz. You choose. Music, please.
Well, well, well. College football, another week goes by. I'm going to start this one with Kenny Cott here because nope. I want to apologize for him for being a horrible friend on Saturday.
Nope.
In the fourth quarter, I just sent him a simple text.
No.
How you doing, buddy?
No, David.
I did. Horrible friend. But I want to hear from you, Kenny. Talk Georgia, please.
No. I don't want to.
Yeah, that's not how this business works. Step up or step out. Now, was 13-12 at Kroger Field?
They almost blew that game on many different times. I don't think this is a top five program.
Well, it's also good that Mark Stoops is a bitch.
Thank you.
100%. How do you punt the ball? 13-12, couple minutes to go. You got the number one team in America in your house, and you're wearing silver jerseys. You got to go for it.
I saw them do that, and I was like, well, thanks, Mark. Appreciate you.
I don't know why. If you're going to run a trick play, leave your real people out on the field. What are you doing? This is going to be a fake punt, right? You actually punted the ball.
I want to save Kenny from something. Weird Saturday, and Georgia does that once a year.
They do.
It's death taxes and a sleepwalk performance. I wouldn't bail yet, but I will say this. Your schedule all of a sudden looks tougher.
Absolutely. We got Bama coming after a bye. Thank God there's the bye between us and Bama. We need to get something right here.
And see, Kenny, I'll say this. Maybe you are a top five team because there's no dominant team. You were the dominant team. And once Georgia looked bad, now you question, okay, is Texas really that team?
The fact that they're number two right now is astonishing to me. I can't explain it.
Well, they're number two because they're Georgia, and I think most people see, like Mike, like, okay, bad day at the office, don't pull a Florida State, and you'll be okay.
Well, exactly. Let's get to Florida State here because Florida State became the first team in college football history to start the season top 10 and lose its first three games to an unranked opponent, now losing to Memphis. What the heck, man?
And on top of that, they've paid out so much money for these ass kickings.
No, it's bad evaluations. I mean, Rico's new wave of college football can work, but you have to be a good general manager. You can't sign bad free agents, aka the portal. The O-line, they brought in four transfers. Here's a hint, they blow. Now, the D-line has been underachieving because those players have been productive at prior stops. But it begins and ends with quarterback. What planet do you reside on that DJU was your answer?
Right, because you're looking and saying, wow, you paid a ton of money for him. And then you look at a guy like Curtis Rourke for Indiana, and he's that, like, you got him for pennies on the dollar. He's getting it done. That's the bad part about the transfer portal. I think Saban said, you get it right, and you can win. You get it wrong, you're screwed.
Well, speaking of being screwed, and you're talking about quarterbacks, I got a quote here from a CBS Sports analyst on Jalen Daniels for Kansas. Says, I don't know if Jalen Daniels can read a defense.
He can't.
That's what he says. What is happening
here? Look, the kid has missed a zillion games the last 2 years with a bad back. He played two games last year. He missed six games the year prior with a shoulder. He's a runner. He's an improviser. He's not a guy that's going to be able to throw in the pocket. But the biggest loss for Kansas is Andy Kotelnicki. He's at Penn State now. You lost the brains behind the operation. Yeah, it ain't so easy anymore, Rico, when we ain't spoon-feeding you throws. Wah!
If I had the bill, I would
go offense. Go Rebs.
All right. Fighting Ricky Whites.
And he didn't do nothing.
Right. I'm like, yeah, I don't even think they threw the ball.
No, they didn't. Let's talk about South Carolina LSU game for a quick second here.
Oh, the old cockaboose.
South Carolina had the game. They were up 17 points. LSU pulls it out, but there's some controversy.
The refs pulled it out.
With the referees,
if you know what
here.
I mean.
South Carolina had two pick sixes that were called back because of penalties that didn't really look like penalties.
How about the game-winning play to salt it away and a phantom offensive pass interference? It was an absurdity. Total absurdity. LSU had no business winning that game.
You almost wonder, was this game in Baton Rouge? Because the way it looked, you can at least say the crowd influenced the refs.
The cockaboos.
Yeah, you hate to say
the cockaboos didn't earn that respect yet.
They didn't. That all. It was a sad cockaboos railroad postgame.
You got cockaboosed, all right.
That's right.
You did.
Those refs are all about the boost.
Well, I talked about Florida State. Let's talk about Florida. There are reports that boosters have already collected $26 million to buy out Napier. But then there's a report later on today or earlier today that said they're not in talks with getting rid of him. Like, they have to get rid of him.
No, here's the thing. Here's what I have learned, okay? When you start hearing these rumors, the talks have happened.
Can you hit the bell for me, please?
Okay. The talks have happened because they're leaking it out. They're telling their fans, we see what you see. We're rich. We could fix this. It's going to happen. Now, the university has to do the, we're standing by our guy. No, we're not. We're just trying to see when, is the check here yet? Is the check here? You're constantly calling the secretary. Is the check here yet? So we can fire this man, rip the Band-Aid off. It's not going to happen.
He's right. Except he's going to be wrong in this regard. Mark a date in your calendars, October 4th. If my Golden Knights go into the swamp and beat Florida, him and that $10 haircut of his are out. That's it.
No, that's embarrassing. You can't lose to UCF.
Yeah, well, buckle up. Because about 300 yards of rushing of R.J. Harvey, K.J. Jefferson, Penny Boone, and some guy named McMillan who just straight kills people.
Penny Boone.
Shout out Rico. If they waltz in and beat him in the swamp, it's over.
So this is a next one here is about Wisconsin. It's a personal question for me because I understand what the offense they're running now there. But at one point in that game, there was a 4th-and-1. They lined up, Wisconsin did, in the shotgun and ran the ball. And I understand what they're running. I get that's football now, but this is still Wisconsin.
No, I know it's not.
Is the air raid going to work there, though?
No, especially with Tyler Van Dyke being dead.
Yeah.
That backup they put in there, he can't complete a forward pass. How is that a quarterback competition? This is like Davis Warren and Orgy. What the hell? How is this ever a competition? One guy has no arms.
Yeah, it's not a competition, David. And I think it's going to kind of be like Michigan, how Rich Rodriguez was never going to be, okay, we're going to give you a game or two to run this cute little offense. You know what? We don't like it. We want to go back to the way things used to be. I don't see Wisconsin embracing this at all. I think they're going to say, we want to go back to being in Wisconsin where we grew offensive linemen and running backs, and that's ground and pound. That's Badger football, not this.
But why would you hire Phil Longo, who wants to run up tempo, and then Luke Fickell, a.k.a. Rob Riggle, you're running one play per 26 seconds. Now, which is it? It makes no sense. These are allegedly smart people. I don't understand it.
Because smart people are not necessarily smart people.
Yeah, it's not fitting. And we'll close it out here with the only Heisman spotlight that I saw.
No, wait. We can't. David, this one's for you.
Okay.
Your team's replacing the quarterback. Alex Orji has been named starter for the University of Michigan, looking at USC coming in. Your thoughts?
Yeah, we'll get to that tomorrow.
No. Kenny had to answer questions about Georgia. You got to answer this right now.
They had to make this decision before the season. They needed to make it before the season because now they got to possibly completely change their entire offense. It needed to be done in the offseason.
You need to pop in a tape of UCF and TCU from Saturday night and glean as much of that Malzahn Wildcat as you can. Because
remember what you said about smart people? And I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay. Well, then Orji's going to have to show us an aptitude throwing the ball that I don't think we've seen quite yet. I don't know. Look, KJ Jefferson
like that
throws the ball.
Pass for a touchdown. He's thrown it twice now.
I understand that. I'm talking on an actual regular basis.
Real passes, things that matter. I'll get to the Heisman Spotlight tomorrow.
No, just do it right now.
All right, Heisman Spotlight was Jalen Milroe.
No.
He had a great yes. Because, yes, he is the first FBS player since 2012 to post 3 straight games with multiple passing and multiple rushing touchdowns.
Great. Do it against someone I care about.
Johnny Manziel.
Play someone.
They did. They played Wisconsin. And, shout out the Lounge. We told you he was going to get 2 rushing touchdowns.
Wisconsin isn't Wisconsin anymore.
Do they still do the jump around?
No. Those fans are posers. They stayed for the jump around and they all left.
Don't worry. Millward will do it against Georgia. And that is your College Football Blitz.